A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been through the ringer with his phone. He rooted, he tinkered, he recorded calls, and then he watched the ground shift under his feet. Banking app stopped working. Wallet became a brick. So he relocked the bootloader, which meant a full factory reset and hours of setup. And now he's asking whether there's a middle ground between Google's walled garden and the rooting dead end. What phones, what OSs actually respect the fact that you bought the hardware?
And the timing of this question isn't accidental. July 2026, Play Integrity's hardware-backed attestation is fully deployed across the Pixel line. Titan M2 is signing attestation challenges at the silicon level, and the cat-and-mouse game that rooting depended on for a decade is effectively over. The mouse lost.
Which is a sentence I never thought I'd say about a multi-billion dollar corporation versus a bunch of hobbyists in a forum thread. But here we are. So let's unpack what Play Integrity actually is, and why it's become the immovable object in the path of the power user.
Play Integrity is Google's remote attestation system. It replaced SafetyNet, which was the older version of the same idea. When an app wants to know whether your device is trustworthy, it calls the Play Integrity API, and Google servers return a verdict. That verdict has three tiers. The bottom tier is meets basic integrity, which means the OS hasn't been tampered with in a way that's detectable by software checks, but the bootloader might be unlocked. The middle tier is meets device integrity, which requires a locked bootloader and an unmodified system image. And the top tier, meets strong integrity, requires hardware-backed attestation, which on Pixels means the Titan M2 chip has cryptographically signed a challenge from Google servers using a device, unique key that was burned into the silicon at the factory.
So, the three tiers are basically a gradient of how much Google trusts your phone, and the apps get to decide which tier they require. Your banking app demands device integrity at minimum. Google Wallet wants strong integrity. And if you're rooted with an unlocked bootloader, you don't even get basic.
Right. And this is the escalation that Daniel lived through. In the SafetyNet era, from roughly 2016 to 2023, the checks were mostly software-based. Majisk, the root hiding framework, could intercept those checks and return passing results. The cat and mouse game worked like this. Google would update SafetyNet to detect a particular hiding technique. The Majisk community would release a new module, Shimiko or Zygisk or whatever the flavor of the month was, and root would work again for a few months. Rinse and repeat.
And then the Pixel 8 happened.
The Pixel 8 with the Tensor G3 and the Titan M2 changed everything. Hardware-backed attestation means the Titan M2 chip measures every stage of the boot process, from the boot ROM all the way up to the kernel, and stores those measurements in TPM-like registers. When an app requests a strong and a gritty verdict, Google's servers send a random nonce to the device. The Titan M2 signs that nonce along with the boot measurements using its private key, a key that was physically burned into the chip during manufacturing and never leaves the silicon. Google servers verify the signature against the public key certificate chain, and if anything in the boot chain has been modified, the signature won't match.
So the Titan M2 is essentially a notary public embedded in your phone that Google trusts, and you can't bribe it because the bribe would require rewriting atoms.
That's the image, and this is why software-based root hiding is impossible against strong integrity. You can patch the kernel all you want, you can intercept system calls, you can hide Majisk from every process on the device, but you can't make the Titan M2 lie about what it measured during boot. The measurement happens before the OS even loads. The only way to get a passing strong integrity verdict is to lock the bootloader and run an unmodified OS, which by definition means no root.
And here's where Daniel's frustration becomes structural rather than incidental. He was using root primarily for call recording, which is completely legal in Israel. He's a non-native speaker and wants a record of conversations for clarity and legal purposes. Google's Play Integrity doesn't care about local legality. It enforces a global policy, and that policy says call recording isn't allowed on devices that pass integrity checks.
The call recording thing is a perfect example of how play integrity functions as a policy enforcement mechanism, not just a security mechanism. Android used to have a call recording API. Google restricted it, then removed it, then made it so that even third-party call recording apps that use the accessibility services workaround would be blocked on play integrity passing devices. The justification is privacy, and there's a real argument there. Call recording without consent is illegal in many jurisdictions, but the mechanism doesn't distinguish between jurisdictions. It's a binary switch.
Which brings us to the core question Daniel's asking. Is Google's security argument legitimate, or is this a control play dressed up in security language? And I think the honest answer is, it's both.
It's both, and the security argument isn't trivial. An unlocked bootloader means anyone with physical access to your device can flash a modified system image that includes persistent malware. That malware can survive factory resets because it lives in the system partition. It can intercept every keystroke, every notification, every authentication token. Google's position is that a locked bootloader with hardware-backed attestation is the only way to guarantee that the OS running on the device is the OS that Google shipped.
But Daniel's counterpoint is also valid. When you root, you're replacing trust in Google with trust in random open-source developers, and he's right to be uncomfortable with that. There's no centralized vulnerability disclosure program for Magisk modules. There's no security audit requirement. The module that lets you record calls might also be exfiltrating your contacts to a server in a jurisdiction you've never heard of. The security model of the rooting community is essentially trust by GitHub stars.
And that's the uncomfortable symmetry. Stock Android with a locked bootloader means you trust Google. Rooted Android means you trust Google plus a constellation of anonymous developers. Neither is ideal, and Daniel's instinct that the best model would be minimally constrained with a sane basic posture is exactly right. The question is whether that model exists.
To understand why the cat and mouse game ended, you need to understand how hardware attestation works at the silicon level. Walk me through the Titan M2 flow on a Pixel 8.
The Titan M2 is a dedicated security chip, separate from the main application processor. It has its own CPU, its own memory, its own storage, and crucially, its own cryptographic engine, with a device, unique private key that was generated and burned into one-time programmable fuses during chip fabrication. Google doesn't know your key. The key never leaves the chip. When the phone boots, the boot ROM measures the next stage of the bootloader, hashes it, and stores that hash in a register inside the Titan M2. Then that stage measures the next stage, and so on, all the way through the bootloader, the kernel, and the system image. This is called a measured boot chain.
So by the time Android is running, the Titan M2 has a cryptographic record of everything that happened between power on and the home screen.
Now, when an app requests a strong integrity verdict, Play Services sends a request to Google servers. Google sends back a random nonce. Play Services passes that nonce to the Titan M2. The Titan M2 takes the nonce, appends the boot measurements, signs the whole thing with its device, unique private key, and returns the signature. Google servers verify the signature using the public key that corresponds to that device's burned-in private key. If the boot measurements match the expected values for the current OS version, the verdict is meet strong integrity. If anything is off, the signature verification fails, and the verdict is a failure.
And there's no software way to intercept that nonce. Sign it with a different key, and send it back, because you don't have the Titan M2's private key. It's physically inaccessible.
Physically inaccessible, and the Titan M2's firmware is minimal and auditable. Google publishes the firmware source. The attack surface is tiny. This is genuinely good security engineering. The problem, from Daniel's perspective, is that it's good security engineering in service of a policy that says you don't get to control your own hardware.
The turning point for the rooting community was early 2025. Magisk version 27.0 briefly managed to bypass basic eye integrity on some devices by hooking into the attestation flow at a different level. It worked for about 6 weeks before Google pushed a play integrity update that closed the hole, and that was the last major bypass. Since then, the community has largely conceded that strong integrity is unspoofable.
And the 6-week window tells you everything about the asymmetry. A handful of volunteer developers found a clever workaround. Google, with effectively unlimited resources and control over both the client and server sides of the attestation flow, patched it in a month and a half. The next bypass will take longer to find and will be patched faster. The economics of the cat-and-mouse game have inverted.
So if routing is effectively dead, what are the realistic alternatives for someone who wants both control and security? Let's look at the phones and OSs that actually exist in 2026.
The first thing to understand is that the hardware bottleneck has narrowed dramatically. To run a custom OS at all, you need a phone whose manufacturer allows bootloader unlocking. And in 2026, that list is short. Pixels, obviously. Fairphone 5. The Nothing Phone 3. A handful of niche devices. And that's basically it.
Samsung is out.
Samsung is aggressively out. Samsung Knox uses physical e-fuses, one-time programmable fuses inside the chip that blow permanently when the bootloader is unlocked. Once that fuse is blown, Samsung Pay, Secure Folder, Samsung Pass, and several other Knox-dependent features are permanently disabled, even if you relock the bootloader later. The fuse is a physical change to the silicon. There's no software fix. Samsung's position is that an unlocked bootloader represents an irrevocable compromise of the device's security posture, and they enforce that at the hardware level.
Which is one of the most aggressive anti-consumer mechanisms I've seen in consumer electronics. You buy a $1,200 phone, you unlock the bootloader once, and you've permanently degraded its resale value and functionality, even if you never actually flashed anything.
And Samsung isn't alone. Xiaomi and OnePlus have both tightened their bootloader unlocking policies in the last 2 years. Xiaomi now requires a multi-day waiting period and a My Account in good standing, and reports from the community suggest they're denying more requests than they're approving. OnePlus introduced a similar waiting period and has been quietly locking down the fast boot commands that make custom ROM flashing possible. The industry trend is unambiguous. Bootloader unlocking is being treated as a bug, not a feature.
So the realistic hardware options are Pixels, Fairphone, and Nothing. And among those, the Pixel is the only one with a dedicated hardware security chip comparable to the Titan M2.
The Fairphone 5 uses a MediaTek Dimensity chipset. It doesn't have a dedicated security chip. It has ARM TrustZone, which provides a trusted execution environment, but TrustZone is a software-defined boundary, not a physically separate chip. The security guarantees are weaker. Fairphone does provide official bootloader unlocking tools and doesn't void the warranty, which is excellent policy, but the hardware security ceiling is lower.
And the Nothing Phone 3 is in a similar position. Good bootloader policy, no dedicated security chip, weaker attestation guarantees.
Which brings us to the software side. The best option for someone with Daniel's priorities is Graphene OS. Graphene OS is a hardened build of the Android open source project for Pixel devices. It doesn't include Google Play services by default. Instead, you can optionally install sandboxed Google Play, which runs each Google Play service in a separate Android work profile with no special privileges. On stock Android, Google Play services has system-level access. It can read your location, your contacts, your app usage. On Graphene OS, sandboxed Play services has exactly the permissions you grant it, same as any other app.
And the crucial detail for Daniel's question, Graphene OS passes meets device integrity on a locked bootloader because it doesn't modify the boot chain in a way that trips attestation. You flash Graphene OS, you lock the bootloader, and Play Integrity sees a locked bootloader with an unmodified OS. It doesn't know the OS is Graphene OS instead of stock Android, because Graphene OS uses the same verified boot chain that stock Android uses.
The catch is that locking the bootloader after flashing Graphene OS wipes the device. That's a security feature, not a bug. The wipe ensures that no persistent malware could have been installed while the bootloader was unlocked. But it means you have to set up your phone from scratch after flashing, which is exactly the pain Daniel just went through.
And even with Graphene OS and a locked bootloader, you don't get strong integrity for Google Wallet. You get device integrity, which is enough for most banking apps, but Wallet specifically requires strong integrity. And strong integrity requires the Titan M2 to attest that the OS is a Google-signed build. Graphene OS is signed with Graphene OS's own keys, so the attestation fails.
This is the trade-off Daniel needs to internalize. On Graphene OS, you get a secure, private OS that passes integrity checks for most apps. You can use your banking app. You can use ride-sharing. You can't use Google Wallet for Tap to Pay. You'll need a physical card or a different payment method. And call recording works because Graphene OS doesn't enforce Google's policy against it.
The call recording workaround is worth dwelling on. On stock Android with Play Integrity, call recording is blocked at the OS level regardless of local law. On Graphene OS with sandboxed Google Play, the OS doesn't enforce that restriction, and call recording apps work because they're not being blocked by Play Services policy. So Daniel gets his call recording back, but he loses Google Wallet. That's the trade-off.
And for someone who needs both, the answer is two devices. That's where the power user community has landed. A locked-down daily driver for finance and identity, and a secondary device for experimentation, call recording, and anything that requires OS-level control. It's not elegant, but it's honest about the constraints.
Let's talk about the other custom OS options, because Graphene OS isn't the only game in town. Calyx OS and Divest OS both take different approaches.
Calyx OS is closer to stock Android than Graphene OS. It includes MicroG, which is an open-source re-implementation of Google Play services. MicroG can fake basic integrity and sometimes device integrity, but it can't fake strong integrity because it has no access to the Titan M2's private key. Hardware attestation is unspoofable by software. So Calyx OS with MicroG will work for apps that only need basic integrity, but banking apps that require device integrity or strong integrity will fail.
And Divest OS is a security-focused fork of Lineage OS with a strong emphasis on privacy and deblobbing. It supports call recording natively and doesn't include Google Play services at all. You can run it without any Google dependencies. But again, no Play integrity, no banking apps that depend on it.
The pattern here's clear. The further you move from Google's ecosystem, the more control and privacy you gain, and the more app compatibility you lose. There's no OS that gives you full Play integrity, full privacy, and full control. The triangle is inherently constrained.
So let's address some misconceptions that float around this space. The first one, rooting makes your phone less secure. Is that actually true?
It's more nuanced than the discourse suggests. An unlocked bootloader definitely reduces security against physical attacks and persistent malware. If someone steals your phone and it has an unlocked bootloader, they can flash a malicious system image and you might never know. But a rooted phone with careful module management, where the user only installs well-audited modules from trusted sources, can be more secure than a stock phone loaded with carrier bloatware and manufacturer skins that haven't been patched in months. The real risk with rooting isn't the root access itself, it's the unlocked bootloader and the trust model for modules.
So the security argument against rooting is real, but it's not absolute. It's a trade-off, not a binary.
The second misconception, Graphene OS, is only for privacy extremists. This one is just wrong. Graphene OS is designed for daily use. The sandboxed Google Play approach means you can run most Android apps without issue. The OS passes device integrity on a locked bootloader, which is more than a rooted stock phone can say. It's a practical choice for anyone who wants a secure phone without Google services having system-level access. You don't need to be a privacy extremist to want that.
And the third one. You can just use MicroG to bypass Play Integrity. This was never quite true, and in 2026, it's definitively false. MicroG can fake basic integrity by spoofing the software-level checks, but it can't fake strong integrity because it doesn't have the Titan M2's private key. No software can. The hardware attestation is unspoofable.
Which is the whole point of hardware attestation. Google didn't spend years designing a custom security chip and burning device, unique keys into silicon just to have it defeated by a re-implementation of Play services.
Given all this, what should you actually do? Here are three concrete recommendations based on your priorities.
Recommendation 1. If you need banking apps and can live without Google Wallet, buy a Pixel 8 or 9, flash Graphene OS, lock the bootloader, and use sandbox Google Play. You'll get a secure, private OS that passes device integrity for most apps. Call recording will work. Your banking app will almost certainly work. Google Wallet for Tap to Pay won't work, so carry a card. This is the closest thing to Daniel's minimally constrained with a sane, basic posture.
Recommendation 2. If call recording is your primary need and you can live without banking apps on this device, consider a Pixel with Divest OS or Calyx OS. Both support call recording natively and don't require Google Play services. but you'll need a second device for banking and payments. This is the two-phone life.
Recommendation 3. Accept the two-device reality. A locked-down daily driver, probably a Pixel-running stock, Android, or Graphene OS, for finance, identity, and anything that requires play integrity. And a secondary device, maybe an older Pixel or a Fairphone, for experimentation, call recording, and anything that benefits from OS-level control. This is where the power user community has landed, and it's not a failure mode. It's a rational response to the constraints.
The mindset shift here is important. Stop thinking of routing as a binary, rooted versus not rooted, and start thinking in terms of trust boundaries. Every decision is a trade-off between convenience, privacy, and security. Stock Android with a locked bootloader maximizes convenience and security at the cost of control. Rooted Android maximizes control at the cost of security and app compatibility. Graphene OS splits the difference, giving you security and control at the cost of some convenience. The goal is to choose your trade-offs consciously, rather than inheriting them by default.
And the uncomfortable conclusion is that Daniel's ideal doesn't exist in the mainstream. There's no phone you can buy off the shelf that gives you full hardware ownership, full app compatibility, and full privacy. The closest is Graphene OS on a Pixel with a locked bootloader, and even that requires trusting Google's hardware while rejecting Google's software. It's an awkward posture, but it's the least bad option available.
But even these recommendations come with an expiration date. Let's talk about what's coming next.
The open question is whether the European Union's Digital Markets Act will force Google to open up attestation. The DMA designated Google as a gatekeeper in 2024, and it requires gatekeepers to allow alternative app stores and to not unfairly preference their own services. Play integrity, as a gatekeeper for app functionality, seems like it falls within the DMA's scope, but the European Commission hasn't yet brought a case specifically targeting hardware-backed attestation. Cases are pending, but they move slowly, and Google has every incentive to drag them out.
And while the legal process grinds forward, the hardware is moving in the opposite direction. More devices are shipping with hardware-backed attestation every year. Samsung's Knox is on every Galaxy device. Apple has its secure enclave. Qualcomm is pushing its own hardware attestation solutions into Snapdragon chipsets. The window for user-controlled Android is closing, and the Pixel plus Graphene OS path may be the last viable option for people who want both security and sovereignty.
Daniel's frustration is legitimate. He bought a phone, he wanted to use it on his own terms, and he found himself in a game he couldn't win. But the answer isn't to fight Google's security model. The security model is good at what it does. The answer is to choose which walled garden you prefer and to understand the walls before you commit.
If you take one thing from this, it's that hardware ownership no longer implies software sovereignty. The phone in your pocket is yours in the legal sense. But the software that runs on it answers to Google. And Google's answer to your preferences is increasingly no. The middle ground is Graphene OS on a Pixel with a locked bootloader. It's not perfect, but it's the best bargain available between control and compatibility.
And the bargain only works if you understand what you're trading away. No Google Wallet. No strong integrity apps. A setup process that wipes your device. But in return, you get an OS that doesn't treat you as a threat to your own hardware. For a lot of people, that's worth the price.
Where this goes next depends on whether regulators treat hardware attestation as a security feature or an anti-competitive practice. The EU's DMA cases will be the thing to watch. If Google is forced to allow third-party attestation providers, the whole landscape shifts. If not, the Pixel Plus Graphene OS path is the best we've got, and it's worth learning now rather than later.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for keeping this show running.
This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find every episode at myweirdprompts.com, and if you've got a question like Daniel's, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.